Stop with your podcasting, sir. Okay. This is a public area. We don't need to be podcasted all the time by you. Okay, you're always walking around recording everybody. Fucking annoying.
Is this the Wood Stove House?
Wood Stove House.
Wood Stove House.
Podcast.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The United States of America.
Planet Earth.
This is the Wood Stove
House.
Flight attendants will now demonstrate the safety features of our aircraft. Please pause for a moment to ensure you are able to give your full attention to this important safety briefing.
It's a little room behind Boho Zone on Prince Street in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Boho Zone is a tiny boutique. There's a little room behind the store, a living room. Mini concert with Noit and Dean Thomas, April 1, 2016. Ambient experimental music. People in the room, a handful of people watching a concert window.
Boho Zone is my life. I mean, I'm here 7 days a week from 10 o'clock in the morning until 7 at night, and then we do events as well in addition to that. We've been doing little performances at Boho Zone for probably over 2 years. We've been open almost 3 years. We only have been calling the mini concerts for probably less than a year, so it's sort of a developing thing. Everything is developing and changing all the time. Basically, we are working to nourish the inner artist in everyone. And we do that by offering a really diverse selection of items, from instruments to artwork to, and when I say artwork, I include music and vinyl in that category, as well as artwork that's been created locally and entered onto our art wall. We stock our vegan, organic, handmade. So you really have to check it out and spend some time looking at it.
That's Dave Jones from Boho Zone, 144 North Prince Street in Lancaster. BOHOZone.com.
To fasten your seatbelt, insert the metal fitting into the buckle and pull on the loose end of the strap to tighten. To open your seatbelt, lift up on the buckle. We recommend you keep your seatbelt fastened at all times in flight, as turbulence can occur unexpectedly.
You don't even want to, and you know you don't care. So don't be the one to put your hand in the air. It's okay if you just want to sit there. sincere. Before you try it, before you combat it, first you gotta tell everyone around you that you suck at it. Everything should get better from there. So don't be the one to put your hand in the air.
Corey McAbee celebrated 420 with over 50 Lancastrians crammed into the quaint yet eccentric Modern Art located at 529 West Chestnut Street in Lancaster. McAbee is a musician, songwriter, filmmaker, and performance artist who owned the room with an hour-long performance of the Small Star Seminar, followed by a Q&A. Following the show, I heard comments like, "That was the best performance I've ever experienced, and it's going to take me days to process what just happened here," and wow. My recordings don't do it justice. I hate to say this, but you had to be there. For those that were, they know what I mean.
Everything keeps getting easier. Stop making those big decisions. Start saving yourself the trouble. You've got no reason, so sit back down. A lot of people have a lot of nerve. Trying to get things that they don't deserve. I became happy the moment I learned that it's never gonna be my turn. Why should it be? What's so special about me? It's probably not your turn either. See? Everything just got easier. But what I made the American astronaut. Indeed. But don't declare woo just yet. It gets better. So this is the new film. It's called Small Star Seminar. Captain Ahab's Motorcycle Club was in the Sundance New Frontiers workshops. Both Captain Ahab's Motorcycle Club. Captain Ahab's Motorcycle Club. There was a seminar at the New York Film Festival in, I guess, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when it began, and they just hosted a performance and brought in cinematographers to contribute to the film. And so anyway, this is what we're making now, is we're making this film. It's about deep astronomy and seeking truth versus facts and things like that. It's about ideas. This whole thing, the whole record, it's all ideas. People go, what's it about? It's about ideas, you know. I don't like answering that question too often. It's like, the Mona Lisa, what is that? It's a painting of a girl. She hasn't washed her hair for a while and she's kind of smiling, you know. I saw this motivational speaker guide, and I thought, oh, that guy's full of shit, you know? And he was going, you know, you can do anything you want. And he was going, I had testicular cancer, and I got over it because I believed in myself. And I'm like, he's like, I had a good attitude, and that's how I beat it. And I'm like, well, that's why my mom died. She had a bad attitude. If she'd only listened to this asshole, she would have been fine, you know? So I started thinking about that, and I started, at first I was writing things kind of trying to be, you know, a bit of a jerk, you know, just like trying to be contradictory to this. But as I'm writing, I'm like, I believe that, you know? Like, and so then I found myself setting rules. I'm like, you know, there should be truth in it, you know? Because these guys, they're trying to sell you something, and the reason it's palatable is because there is some truth in what they're saying. If you go the opposite direction, there's truth waiting there too. And I found that these ideas were actually things that I wish somebody told me when I was a kid, you know, because I was crippled by the, you can do anything you want. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, yes, you can, you know. And I made this record in 2 months, wrote and recorded it with a little microphone in my apartment in 2 months, and I had a bunch of instruments, you know, busted things and hitting pots and pans and stuff. And I had a daughter who could sing. I'm like, I'll give you $20 if you can. We're going to buy the CD. You can buy it at CoreyMcAbee.net. Unfortunately, it's all downloads. There's no physical items. Most prone to think about at 4 in the morning?
If you wake up.
Why is this cat touching my face? And it is this. Ask yourself this question. The answer is yes. Ask yourself this question. When things get tough, ask yourself if you've done good enough. Yes! I have a suggestion, and it is this. Ask yourself this question. The answer's yes. Ask yourself this question. When things get tough, ask yourself if you've done good enough.
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
As we prepare for takeoff, please be sure your seat back is upright, your tray table is secured, and personal items are under the seat in front of you. Smoking is not allowed at any time. Tampering with, disabling, or destroying smoke detectors in the laboratories may result in a fine.
So what was the first concert that you chose to go to? Not that your parents dragged you to, but you chose to go to, and do you regret it?
So the first concert that I went to was the Club MTV music tour featuring CNC Music Factory. I was ready to dance, and that's like, yeah. So I look back, it's not exactly like, you know, something that I'm proud of, maybe, but I mean, I don't regret it. It's kind of amazing.
My first concert was Culture Club, and I loved every second of it.
My first concert was in 1972. It was the Grateful Dead, and the new Riders of the Purple Sage opened. It was Franklin and Marshall College, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and there's no possible way I could ever regret that.
So the first concert that I chose to go to was Billy Joel. And like, I think it was like later in my like music life. So up to that point, I just went when other people were going to different concerts. So Billy was unbelievable. And he pulled out this accordion, and he told a story about how he used the sort of like nerd on the street because he was playing the accordion. But who's laughing now? And I was like, you go, Billy.
The first concert I ever went to on my own volition was a Grateful Dead concert.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was 16. My parents wouldn't let me go. And so my friends decided that they would give me a ticket for my birthday, and that because they gave me this ticket for my birthday, that my parents would somehow, you know, let me go. They did. I was the designated driver. All my friends were on mushrooms, except for me. I drove our minivan. We got stuck in the mud till like 4 a.m., stuck in the mud at the Grateful Dead concert. I called my mom from a payphone, and I think I cried.
First concert that I chose to go to, I would love to say James Brown, because when James Brown came to town, I got so excited when I was younger, but I did my parents purchased the ticket and drove us all there. So technically my first show by myself, and they dropped me off, was Hot Hot Heat opening up for Weezer, opening up for the Foo Fighters at the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia with my friend. And I remember the whole time we're sitting in the nosebleed seats, the whole time, and I never experienced marijuana in my entire life, ever, until this guy started handing me this funny cigarette. My dad told me, don't smoke anything. Smoke anything, it's gonna be so bad for you. And I remember getting in the car that night, and he turns in, and he goes, what the fuck? You guys, are you fucking high right now? And I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because at this point, I own this Bob Marley t-shirt, because I was really into Bob Marley. I was probably maybe like 13, and I was really into them.
There are two exit doors at the front of the aircraft, and overwing exits are located near the center of the cabin. Please refer to the safety card to locate your nearest exit. In the event of an emergency during takeoff or landing, the correct brace position is shown in the safety card.
Pat Buzzard and I were best friends in college. We went our separate ways for the 13 years that followed. But then 10 years ago, this month, I got an email out of the blue from Pat looking to reconnect. He was in a band called Saving Jane. They had a major label deal and had been out on the road for a couple years, and they were coming through Lancaster to play a show at the Chameleon Club. We picked up where we left off back in 1993. And shortly thereafter, I went to see the band again at the Whitaker Center in Harrisburg. That night, Pat pointed out an older guy sitting close to the front with a big camera. He told me to keep an eye on him because he's been creeping the band for several shows and nobody was really sure what the deal was.
We had a song on the charts and we were drawing from, like, our demographic was teenage girls, basically. And so the audience primarily would be made up of teenage girls and their guardian or their mom or their dad or whoever. But when somebody didn't fit in, like they drastically didn't fit in. And in this one particular case, there was this guy who older, like looked like he was 60 years old, taller guy. So he didn't blend in, and he made no real attempt to blend in. We saw him at one show, and it was like, wow, interesting. He must be with his granddaughter or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
And we we do the autograph line, and he comes through, and he wants a picture with all of us, and it's like, okay. You know, we're all pretty jovial Midwest bands, and we're like, okay. And it just seemed wrong. Like, it just seemed whatever. So the next gig, next show, next town, there's this guy again. The same guy. And, like, again, totally not blending in, but also totally not trying to blend in. Like, really clearly there on purpose and clearly not trying to hide that he's there.
Like, he came to see this band.
Absolutely. He was there to see our band, and he's got this super long telephoto lens and all this kind of, like, it was weird. All right, like, once is okay, second time is weird. Same thing, we do the autograph line, he comes through, he gets a picture taken with all of us. And he's not super chatty, but the second time, we're like, man, something's up with that. Like, that's, guy, it's just weird. And we were just getting a quote-unquote a taste of fame, so you get nervous about that kind of thing. Like, people can find you, or people can know what's going on. So this goes on, and I'm not exaggerating, 6-7 shows now in a row. The same fucking guy shows up, not blending in, not trying to blend in.
Did he introduce himself?
Sorta. I mean, it wasn't like...
So he was just like a fan, like...
Yeah.
Hey, can I get a picture?
Yeah, hey, can I get a picture? That's literally, he'd walk up, come through. A lot of times he would buy a CD every time, you know, sign it, get a picture, sign it. Then he'd like, hey, can I get a picture? Take it. With all of us, and it really got to the point that we didn't know what to do. Like, it was like, because we had with a female lead singer, you know, you're a little more touchy to those kinds of things. Like, what is this guy gonna do? Is this building to something? Is there something sinister happening here? Are we allowing something sinister to happen? And finally. One night, she's like, I'm over this guy. No more. I can't talk to him anymore. She's like, I need you to talk to him. So it was my job. So I had to sit down with this potential serial killer and be like, dude, like, are you going to murder us in our sleep or what? Like, what's going on? And so I do. I sit down with this guy, and it was the weirdest thing, man. You know, we're sitting down after a show. I think we went.
So how did you set that up? So is he coming through the line? And you're like, hey, yeah. I need to talk to you.
Yes, he's coming through the line. I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you. Are you gonna stick around? And this is like 7 or 8 shows in a row. He's clearly not driving from home because we were on like an East Coast tour. Like we were maybe thousands of miles away from where we were the first time he saw us.
Okay.
So he comes through the line. I'm like, hey, can we hang out or can we have a word or whatever? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And I'm like, and I even tell the other guys, I'm like, if I don't come back, like, that was him.
That's the guy.
Like, you know what he looks like. So I sit down, and it turns out he legitimately was just a fan of the band. And even though he didn't expect to like female pop teenage music, he did. And he was in a position in life where he had time to, he could travel. So he just took 2 weeks and toured with his band. Then fast forward. We get him to the point of, like, we miss him if he's not there. Like, you start looking for him. You know, it's like, you know, you come home and your dog comes up and you're like, hey! And you start looking for him. And we even started, you know, like, you'd look for him and you'd feel bad if he wasn't there. And he bailed us out one night. A promoter totally stiffed us on our money. And we were on fumes. It was like, yeah, we didn't have any money. And no means to get any money. Like, we were kind of stuck. And he fronted us a little bit of cash and bought us all hotel rooms for the night.
Wow.
And he's a great guy. And I'm friends with him to this day. But it was my first brush with, I might not get out of this rock and roll life alive. And it's not the way that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's still weird. But, you know, it did teach me that you like what you like. You can't help what you like.
In an emergency evacuation, leave all personal items behind and quickly proceed to the nearest exit.
And then they went one by one by one by one, running down road, chasing the flying bus. Hallucinations, manifestations of the pint we shared the night before.
I spent the evening of April 19th at TELUS 360 in Lancaster for a performance by Sympathy and the Lion. The show was a celebration as the Lancaster-based duo were getting ready to head out on a four-week U.S. tour.
A broken memory comes back with a laugh of the Yank being abused, no offense. Salt Hill and Sea Air, chaos is the room, yes and always room for one more.
TELUS 360 owner and Lancaster's favorite Irishman, Joe Devoy, joined John and Mike to add spoken word to the band's repertoire of original songs and well-chosen covers. Joe is joining the band for more than a week of the tour between Fort Collins, Colorado, and San Francisco, California.
I am the bird and the bear. I am the wind and the air. I am the night and the day. I am the ocean and the bay. Shipwreck, I am the steel deck and the salt water. I am the spud in drills of sand. I am the cow in fields of green. I am the stone on top of the wall. I'm the rock beneath it all. I am the cliff rising up, I am the house falling down, I am the flowers in the fields of May, I am the holes in the rain. I am the power lines running straight, I am the wind blowing sound, I am the moon pulling tides, I am the sky blue in skies. I am the scully and the boat, the tractor and the goat. I'm the gravestone and the grave. I'm the free man and the slave. I'm not here at all, I'm not here at all, I'm here forever. I'm not here at all, I'm not here at all, I'm here forever. I'm not here at all, I'm not here at all, I'm here forever. Where would I go? What would I do?
Aortic Valve provided visual projections for the evening, and sound support was provided by Mike Newman and Eric Zod from the Sugar Tank Studio, who were also gracious enough to share these recordings. Find Sympathy and the Lion on Facebook, and look for them around Lancaster when they return.
We are Sympathy and Lion. We are at home. Thank you very, very much.
If the aircraft cabin loses pressure, the panel above your seat containing oxygen masks will open automatically. While remaining seated with your seatbelt fastened, quickly reach for the nearest mask and pull it firmly toward you to start the flow of oxygen. Please ensure the plastic bag is clear of the mask. Put the mask over your nose and mouth, flip the elastic band over your head, and tighten by pulling on the strap on either side.
I didn't always smoke, like, from a young age. I probably started smoking when I was, like, 18 years old, maybe. 18 or 19. And I smoked for, I guess, like, 15 years. So I'm almost to the point now that I've not smoked as long as I did smoke, which is really cool. It'll be nice when it gets past that. But I do remember the first time when my friends and I bought cigarettes, and I was probably like 14 or something like that. And there was this grocery store outside our neighborhood, called Ralph's Market. You had to like walk through our neighborhood and through the newer part of the neighborhood, down this country road. And Ralph's Market was like a little general store thing. And it was really cool because it had a lunch counter in it. And the best part about Ralph's Market is that you'd like go up and order your burger, which were still the best hamburgers I've ever had in my entire life. And then if you got chips and a drink with it, you'd just grab it off the grocery shelf. And the car in front of me wasn't moving. And I hate to beep my horn. I absolutely hate beeping my horn. It takes a lot to get me to beep the horn because I just think it's rude. Unless you like are doing it for, you know, you're gonna hit somebody or they're getting ready to get hit or something like that. But I hate that. It just kind of like getting in the middle of a crowd and going ah! And yelling and drawing all this attention to yourself. And I hate it like if you're in the car and you just parked in a parking lot, especially at work or some place where there's out people walking around like at the mall or something, grocery store, and you accidentally hit the horn on the way out, and then everybody looks, and I feel like I need to explain what I did when nobody really cares. But yeah, I don't like beeping my horn. But in that case, that lady was just sitting there for, she was, I don't know, whoever it was. I always think it's a lady too. I'm always saying that, and I have no idea if it was a man or a woman. I didn't even look. Immediately I'm like, oh, that lady was just sitting. Oh well, anyway. So back to the cigarette story. My friends and I wanted to buy cigarettes, and so we thought we'd get them at Ralph's Market. But the problem was, Ralph knew all of our parents, and we knew if we bought cigarettes from him, that he would probably tell our parents we had bought cigarettes. But we liked Ralph, and we didn't want to steal from Ralph either. So we walked into the store. They had cigarettes on a display. We didn't even know what kind. I guess we probably got a kind who's, like, one of the kids, if one of their parents smoked. Like, my mom didn't smoke, but other kids had parents that smoked, so they probably got the brand that their parents smoked because that's what they knew about. We picked up a pack of cigarettes, put it in our bag, and could have walked out, but again, we didn't want to steal from Ralph, so we went over to the candy aisle, and we bought candy, enough candy that would add up to about the price of what the cigarettes were, and then we went up to the counter, and Ralph rang us up. We paid for the candy, and then he left the counter to go back to the lunch counter. He left, like, the checkout thing. And when he walked back, we put the candy back on the shelf. So we paid for it, but then put the candy back, because we were really paying for the cigarettes. And then we took them, and we walked home. And we went back in the little wooded area behind Angie's house. It was like a creek and this stone, little stone bridge, walking bridge and stuff. And we got the cigarettes out, opened them up, and I don't know if one of the other girls has smoked before or not. I have no idea. But we lit up. And of course, you know, couldn't inhale, we're choking, and it tasted absolutely horrible. But we, like, thought we were cool because we were smoking back in the woods.
That was my wife, Suzanne. She quit smoking, but she still makes a lot of turns when she drives. Thanks to Dave Jones from Boho Zone, Corey Maccabee, Pat Buzzard, and Suzanne Mundock for being really cool. Thanks to Joe DeVoy, Sympathy and the Lion, Aortic Valve, and Mike and Eric from the Sugar Tank Studio for a great night at Telus 360. Thanks to Joe, Shannon, Scott, Siobhan, Libby, and Nick for telling me about your first concerts. Music in today's episode from Noit, Jay Mundock, Corey Maccabee, Sympathy and the Lion, and Jester's Longevity. And finally, thanks to American Airlines for giving me something to think about while waiting to take off from O'Hare International Airport.